This afternoon, I want to continue our study through the book of John. And so if you have your Bibles, and we'll turn with me to John. And we're getting close to the end of the book. And this afternoon, we're going to be in John chapter, the last portion of the book in chapter 21. So if you turn with me to John chapter 21. Jesus had told his disciples to go to the Galilee and to wait for him there. He had appeared to them in the upper room, revealed himself to them. He revealed himself to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus and had talked and taught them. They had quickly run back and told the others that they'd seen him as well. He had reappeared to Thomas, and where Thomas had doubted that Jesus could be risen from the dead because he wasn't there when he appeared to the other disciples the first time. We now find in chapter 21 that the disciples have left. They've gone to the Galilee region because that's where Jesus told them to go. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times you have a mountaintop experience with the Lord. There's been something that's just been so marvelous and amazing. You can't believe it. That's where the disciples have been. They had finally come to an understanding of what Jesus had been talking about when he said that he would rise from the dead, because they'd seen him. He had risen from the dead. He had appeared to them and revealed himself to them. But now they're in the Galilee region. It's a bit of a hike up there, so it's got to be a few days later after these events have occurred. And they get up there, and Jesus hasn't appeared to them yet. And I don't know about you, but sometimes after you've had one of those really wonderful spiritual experiences, that seems to be when Satan comes and says, "Really?" and tempts you to just kind of say, "Well, why don't we just forget about that?" And that's kind of where Peter's at. Peter is up in the Galilee, and he'd been a fisherman up there his whole life. Jesus had called Peter and John and James and also Andrew from their family fishing business into following him. And when they get up there again, the fishing boats are still there, and we're going to see what Peter does when he sees them. So let's begin at chapter 21, verse 1. "And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself." They were all together, Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples. And Jesus hadn't showed himself yet, but is saying that this is what transpired when he did show himself. They were all gathered there, these seven disciples, not all 12 or 11 plus other believers were there, just seven of the 11. "And Simon Peter saith unto them," that is the other six disciples, "I go fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now, I want you to understand, Jesus didn't tell them to go fishing. He told them to go up there and wait for him. But when they got up there, Peter says, "I'm going fishing." They would fish at night. Now, these are experienced fishermen. They know the Sea of Galilee. They've lived on the north end of the Sea of Galilee their whole life. They fished that area. They know where to go fishing, how to catch fish, and what are the best places and the best times. Well, they go out and they don't catch one fish. Now, why didn't they catch any fish? We're going to see it's an object lesson that Jesus wants them to learn, and that is because he wants them to understand you can't go in your own strength and power and accomplish anything apart from the Lord. And this is the lesson that he's got in store for these men. "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat?" In other words, have you caught any fish? You got anything to eat? And they still don't know it's Jesus. They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." Now, You can probably imagine some of the thoughts that were going through their minds. This guy's standing on shore. We've been fishing all night. And they don't really recognize yet that it's Jesus. And now he tells them, cast your sides on the right side of your boat. Cast your nets and you'll find fish. Well, they do what he says. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore, what the disciple from whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And this is typical Peter, because he'd been working all night, going fishing, doing it on his own, but when he heard it was Jesus, he jumps into the ocean to get to shore to be with Jesus. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits. And 200 cubits would be about 100 yards. It would be about the length of a football field. So that's about how far they were from shore. And dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a fish laid thereon and bread. Now, it's amazing. Jesus had gotten fish and bread, and he wasn't even fishing. But he had prepared a meal for them, and they saw that he had prepared a meal for them. And Jesus saith unto them, bring the fish which ye have now caught. And Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And there's just been different discussions on 153 fish. Why 153? Was it a different species of fish? That there was one of each in the were in the Sea of Galilee? Was it at that time the 153 nations? I don't know, but it was a great multitude of fish, and it normally would have, with that many fish in a net that size, it would have broken, but the net was not broken. And so they bring the fish to shore. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And so it's the first time that they've seen him after he told them to go up to the Galilee region. But it's the third time that they've seen him, the first being shortly on the after his resurrection when he appeared to them in the upper room that night. The second time it was in the upper room again when Thomas was there a few days later. And now this is the third time that he appears to them. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to look at this and look at the text and see what you would have in store for us. Lord, help us to see that oftentimes we think we can do things in our own strength because we've done this before. But Lord, help us to realize that we always need to rely and call upon your name. Speak to us now through your word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the lessons that Jesus needed to teach his disciples, and he had told them before when he called them, if you remember, he said, when he called them from their fishing, he said, come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And this is really what he was calling them to do. His disciples were going to be those that would take the gospel throughout the world, beginning with Jerusalem and Judea, and then into Samaria, and then into the othermost parts of the world. And that's exactly the pattern that his disciples took. They began with Peter preaching in Jerusalem, and that was in the book of Acts. And thousands of Jews came to know Christ and accept him as their Lord and Savior. They also took it to the out regions of Judea, around Jerusalem, and then into Samaria, which would have been north of Jerusalem, and up towards the Galilee region. Even though the Galilee was not considered Samaria, Samaria would be between the Galilee, on the southern portion of the Galilee, and the north of Jerusalem. That would be considered as an area of Samaria. But Jesus said to take the gospel there and then to the uttermost parts of the world. The disciples would end up going into all the world. Historically, it's recorded that the disciples went to many different areas. Thomas is reported to have gone all the way to India with the gospel. Others went up into what is now south of Russia and Ukraine in that area. The others went over towards Europe with the gospel. And so we know that the gospel was taken to what at that time would have been portions of the world that many of them had never even dreamed of going to prior to knowing Christ, but Christ had commanded them and commissioned them to go. And part of that was that they could be fishers of men. You and I have been called to do the same thing, but how do we go and how do we do this? We don't have great abilities. These men, if you stop and think, today, if you have evangelistic crusades that go and evangelists or missionaries that go out, there are mission boards or evangelistic boards that commission them. There are offerings that are taken or gifts that are requested to send them. There are many times people that will go ahead of them to plant literature, gather opportunities for speaking, all of those things, and there's a lot of planning that goes into it. However, with the disciples, they didn't have any of that. All they had was initially 11 disciples who were later called the apostles, the 12th being appointed later, Matthias, and then the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle Paul. But they didn't have all of these other things that we have for modern evangelism. What did they have? They had the power of God, and they had the promise of God, and they had the commission of the Lord. And that is, we have the same thing today. Now, one of the lessons that Jesus wanted to teach these men is he told them, I was going to make you fishers of men, but they all viewed themselves as being fishers of fish. They knew how to fish. If there would be somebody that would tell you he could know how to fish, I bet you Peter would tell you, I know this lake better than anybody. I can catch fish. And when they hadn't seen Jesus, and they'd been up there, and they'd been waiting for him, and Peter says, well, I'm going to go do what I know to do, and that is, I'm going to go fishing. And he hops in the boat to go fishing. Are you coming with? And they all go fishing with him. Now, some of them also, John and James, would have known how to fish, as well as some of the others that were with him. Yet, we see that they were out there all night and caught nothing. Now, why didn't the Lord allow them to catch a fish? And one of the things that we were studying in the class in Isaiah today was sometimes we think that situations are so difficult and God can't help us, but God is always in control. Who was in control of this? And who was going to teach them an object lesson about where their faith and trust and hope needed to rest? It was the Lord. And he was going to show them who's in control, who's got power, who will enable you to accomplish what I have set you forth to accomplish. So as they're coming back with empty nets, this man, who they really don't know at the time that he tells them, because it says they don't recognize him initially. And he tells them, throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you'll catch fish. The immediate thought probably was in their minds, well, we've been fishing all night. How are we going to catch fish by just throwing our nets on the right side of the boat? How do you know the fish are there? But they do what he says, and when they haul it in, it's the most fish that you can haul in, and the net didn't break, so it tells you that there was a lot of fish. 153 fish in one net catch is a lot of fish. And the weight would have been a lot, but the net didn't break. Another miracle. And we see that they haul this in. And then I want you to see, as I mentioned earlier, they see this man on the shore, and John recognizes it being the Lord. And so he says, it's the Lord. And the Lord is got a fire going, and he's preparing fish on the fire. Now, Jesus doesn't say anything about Jesus having a boat. Doesn't say anything about Jesus being out on the water. And it doesn't say anything about Jesus making bread. But Jesus has bread there and he has fish there for them to eat. And so there's bread and fish, and he tells them to come in, and he's going to talk to them. And as they're coming in, when Peter hears it's the Lord, Peter immediately jumps in the water to get to the Lord as fast as he can. Now, Peter was the first one that wanted to go fishing, and he's also the first one that wants to get there to meet the Lord. He was not the one that said, well, the Lord told us to wait here. Maybe we should pray to the Lord and ask him, when are you coming? Where are you? How long should we wait? He didn't do any of that, but he did react when he saw. And so he jumps in the water, goes to the Lord, and as they get there, it's an interesting thing. It says that they see him, but none dared ask him, are you the Lord? But they recognized him kind of as the Lord. Peter, John had already said that, but they didn't dare ask him. And part of it may have been because of their lack of trust in telling him and just waiting for him like they had been told to do. But they go there and they see the catch that he's given them, and they count it, and there's 153 fish. An amazing catch. And as they look at this catch and look at what the Lord is doing, Jesus then cometh, and in verse 13 it says, taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now, he meets their immediate needs. They've been out working all night, and they're going to be hungry. And he knows their physical hunger, and so he meets that physical hunger. But then he's going to be teaching them a spiritual lesson. And if you look at what the lesson is that he's going to be teaching, it's when you go out and catch men, and I told you I'm going to make you fishers of men, there's going to come times where you think you know how to do it, but you really don't. You need to rely upon me, call on my name, and ask for my help, my wisdom, and that I can prepare hearts for you. Jesus had prepared the fish to be in that particular spot when they dropped their nets and been where they were all night because he kept the fish away. But now he brought them. He's going to bring men that have a hunger to know God, and he's going to send these men out to teach and preach the gospel to those that want to hear. And he's saying, you cannot do this on your own strength, but you can do it with my power. And I am the one that shall give you the fruit, or that will allow you to bear the catch, if you would, in the catching of men. And this is a lesson that we need to learn, because one of the things that, especially the church, the modern church, we think that we've got all of these tactics and all of these programs, and one of the things that you see oftentimes is that churches have more and more programs, and it's program upon program upon program, and they have all, and one church does something and then they're all doing it. I remember a number of years ago we attended a church and we didn't have a bus ministry. Then one of the bigger churches in town started a bus ministry, so we thought, well, we have to have a bus ministry. So we had a bus ministry. Well, nobody really had a heart for the bus ministry in our church, but we thought we had to start a bus ministry anyway because everybody else is doing a bus ministry. Well, if God didn't place it on anybody's heart to really have a burden for a bus ministry, we probably really weren't supposed to have a bus ministry. But we had one, but it didn't really bear much fruit. And part of it was, I believe, because God didn't want us to necessarily have a bus ministry simply because somebody else did. But the modern church thinks that if we have just all these programs, then we'll get people in. And the importance is getting people in. No, the importance is that people's hearts are prepared to hear the gospel, and that God's Spirit is convicting men of their sin, and that they'll give their heart and life to the Lord. And if you see that the greatest results in evangelism have come when people have not relied on their own abilities, but relied on the Spirit of God and God's direction, and not a program, but rather God's Spirit to bring forth and yield the fruit of their ministry. And so this is one of the lessons that we need to learn, is the church is not a business that is run like a business, but the church is the body of Christ. It's an organism that infused with God's power in God's people, and God's people need to respond and do what God tells them to do. And when they do, like the disciples dropping the net on the right side of the boat, they'll be able to reap the benefits of their work, because it will be the Lord's work done through them. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us this afternoon. Help us to rely on you. Help us to seek your guidance and direction, to seek to walk in your power and not to try and do things in our own strength. And Lord, help us to realize the fruit of your Spirit being born in our lives as we share the gospel, that we may truly be fishers of men. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 400.